You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
Yo, what is good, everyone? Welcome to a brand new...
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
What is good?
Yeah, what is good?
What is good? What is bad?
I'll tell you what's good. Playing Ghana. Isn't that fun?
It's always a... I mean, sometimes it's not.
Oh, yeah, in the past. I think they haven't beat us since like 06.
Okay, I don't... We'll...
No, 2010 World Cup, no? Didn't they knock us out of the 2010 World Cup?
I guess they technically drew and then they beat us.
I'm looking at the Fatma Insights. It says Ghana haven't won an away game in their last 5 matches. So that has nothing to do with us.
No, that's not Fatma. That's just us being geniuses, bro.
Bro, okay.
We statisticians.
What is good, everybody? Welcome to the Cooligans Podcast. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
We out here. Thank you for tuning in, whether it's on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, DraftKings Network, wherever you consume Los Cooligans.
And our XG is off the map. That stands for expected gully.
Expected gully is way through the roof.
Damn.
So it is getting crazy today. Yeah, we have an exciting episode. Obviously, we're going to be talking about U.S. men's national team, a bunch of other news, but we also are joined by an incredible guest, Chris Ewing, owner and operator of the Caledonian Braves. It is a third tier. It might be, is it fourth or third?
I don't know exactly what's tier. It's lower down on the pyramid.
You ain't finding it on TV. We'll just say that. And he's got the personality for TV. He's a fun guy.
A great dude. Yeah. So he's
got great TikToks.
Owner and operator of Caledonian Braves, which is a club in Scotland that started very recently, but it is a fan run club, fan owned club.
Yeah.
So if you want to be an owner of a football club in Scotland, Chris Ewing is going to be joining us in a little bit to talk about that and see how, so we can see how you can get involved.
And we added the link to the WeFund on the bottom in the description. So if you want to become an owner of Caledonian Braves, check out that link.
Listen to his pitch first.
Yeah. Don't listen to us. We're not giving you financial advice. That's not what the show is.
Okay. All right.
We're the new FTX, bro.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yell at you like Jim Cramer, bro.
You know? Nor are we going to tell you to get in on this and then we sell secretly the moment you all buy.
Who do we look like? Logan Paul?
No, not at all.
Right.
By the way, here's a new drink we came up with that is only going to give you a little less stomach problems.
Joe, buy Prism. Yeah. It's not like Prime, I promise.
Nothing like Prime, even though we just scratched off the M and the E.
But let's start today talking about the U.S. men's national team against Ghana. The international break is over.
Yes.
For the U.S. men's national team. And this the second game ended a little bit better than the first game against
it
Germany.
It started a little bit better. The halftime was a little bit better. The post game was a little bit better. Everything was a little bit better.
We even got an indirect free kick goal.
Bro, they should have played that in black and white. When was the last time you saw that? That looked like some old school.
It looks like an era before they developed the rules of the sport.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Why?
Before subs were allowed.
Bro.
The announcer's like, would you look at that? What a shocking!
let's just start there. Obviously, a 4-0 victory against Ghana, which is always nice to see. But there was just something about.
Did you say 4-3?
4-0.
4-0. Okay.
There's just something about the confidence that this U.S. team had compared to how it was against Germany. And Germany's Germany. We understand it's obviously a very, very different opponent. But this Ghana is a team that has given us trouble in the past.
Yeah. This it's been a while. This is a different team. And, you know, I look at it and I think this is a lot like a guy who's like, hey, I finally lost my virginity. And you're like, what? To who? And he's like, don't worry about that.
Why are you asking all these questions?
You don't need to know all the information, bro.
Okay. A gentleman does not kiss and tell, my lady.
Excuse me while I vomit now that I've remembered. But I will be right back. It felt a little bit like that. No disrespect to Ghana. This clearly wasn't their most... their best performance. They didn't look.
Which is a shocking first half. The second half, obviously, we didn't score.
There were moments where the back line looked like they were completely uninterested in the game.
Right. Well, I mean, there were
moments.
That moment that I think has gone viral, which is Tim Weah doing a little like a rainbow flick. Not an official rainbow flick, but you know, he flicked it over the defender, and the defender just hit him with just threw his hands up in the air with just like a give up.
Hit him with the Mamma Mia. What am I gonna do?
What are we doing out here? I think he was just like, that man is Liberian. What are you doing?
I know your dad, dude.
You're wearing the wrong jersey. Yeah. What is going on?
But he's Liberian, not Liberty. Okay,
my man was clearly frustrated, but it seemed like not only did he just give up on defending, but that's an embarrassing thing to do, to just like throw your hands up in the air. Like, who was he looking at? There was no one else at fault. Like, at least run back and try to recover and save yourself from a little bit of the embarrassment. But he was just like, oh no, that's your guy now.
Hey, I'm the last line of defense. Well, he got through me. Good thing we got this goalkeeper back there.
So that was quite shocking. But I think the star of the match, or the man of the match, was Gio Reyna.
Gio Reyna looked absolutely incredible. This was the Gio Reyna of the Nations League that we saw. Came back from his injury.
But this Gio Reyna, for some reason, has 0 minutes for Borussia Dortmund.
No, he did
this
get 26.
Oh, he did. He finally got. Okay.
He did get a little bit of burn, you know. But supposedly, Bino Gittens? I can't remember the dude who's starting ahead of him.
Yeah, Bino Gittens.
Bino Gittens. You know, I get that the coach is maybe slow playing it after the injury.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a little bit of a fear that, you know, Gio Reyna is injury prone. So maybe the coach is slow playing it. Bino Gittens getting some time ahead of him. Charlie seemed very upset about that this morning. But I'm of the mindset that if you get an opportunity, you shine, and you should get more opportunity after that.
Right.
You know, until you fail, you keep getting opportunities. As far as I'm concerned, he played so well in that first half against Ghana that I'm like, all right, this dude got to get either a start or a longer, you know, a lot more time off the bench.
Yeah, and look, he played the first half, and there is I mean, obviously, the talking point was like, you know, everything that happened with the Reyna and Berhalter family.
That's not going to go away anytime soon.
It's not going to go away, but you know, the only way to alleviate those people having that on their mind is for Gio to bag a whole bunch of goals. Get a bunch of assists, get a bunch of goals.
He got his first brace. That's on the way there.
Yeah, so that's the only way to resolve any drama is just to be like, all right, he has grown from it or matured in some way, and then people will stop talking about it because it's just like, well, we don't want to rock the boat and bring up old stuff because my man is getting a whole bunch of goals. So that's kind of the best way to handle it going forward. But he just really does change this team completely.
He
makes the team so much better and so much fun to watch that I mean, you know, it's not I'm not making the comparison like Messi makes everybody better, but Gio just, I think, brings a level of confidence and relief to the rest of the team. Look at Falarin Balogun.
Dude, it completely changes
the
way
he's a different guy with Gio there.
Well, I mean, he's got to get service, and Gio's giving him service. You know what I mean?
And also, Balogun is doing, I think, when Reyna's playing, and he talked about this in the postgame a little bit, about how it was a point to get him more involved. I think he barely had many touches in the game against Germany.
Yeah, we showed the pass map after the Germany game. Barely touched the ball.
Balogun was getting the ball from Chris Richards, bro. He was like literally running all the way to the center back.
That doesn't help. He's like, yo. When the goalkeeper does a short pass and it goes to Leonard Mallion, you're like, yo, you might be too far back.
He was like, yo, I'm getting in this game. Yeah. I just want to feel the ball from
time to time. From here, you know what I mean?
But the goal, the first goal, right? That was Reyna's goal.
Yep.
Balogun did the back heel that broke the
saucy.
Beautiful. It was I think it was Dest involved and
how much Balogun. Better did Dest look?
Yeah, yeah.
They're, yo, Dest, don't even drive on the right hand side. I want you to sit in a passenger seat only. You only on the right from now on, man. That was a completely different Serginho Dest from what we saw against Germany on the left, which I think now we look back and go, okay, that experiment, we're never doing that again.
Yeah.
Especially with Lund looking good.
Yeah, Christopher Lund looked great as well, man. Yeah. There was a... look, I don't know what it was exactly. That first half, Ghana had no clue what they were... facing, and
it looked like it was 9 against 10.
Yeah, it just kind of a shock. So look, it leaves I think people with just a little bit more confidence in not only the team, but even though people are like through their teeth, like gritting their teeth of like they don't want to give Berhalter any props. But I mean, this was a good game for him. Yeah, I think he made the right calls with the lineup and stuff like that. And again, Ghana looked a lot better in that second half, and we didn't score. But I'm not used to leaving U.S. men's national team games like, oh, I got nothing to complain. I'm like, I want something to complain about.
Yeah.
I usually complain.
Wow. For some reason, I left and I don't have a scowl on my face. What's going on? But shouts to Loon for also putting Kudus in his pocket, bro.
Sure.
Mohamed Kudus is the guy that everyone's talking about on this Ghana team. You know, Wes Ham paid a grip of money for this man. And, bro, he was not getting past Christopher Loon. Again, remind everyone, Christopher Loon, a second division in Italy defender. Young. Yeah. Playing for Palermo and Serie B, however you want to pronounce it. And Mohamed Kudus got sold for a grip of money to West Ham.
Yeah, I wonder, the scouts are scouting, bro. Yeah, they're looking in Serie.
Now, as soon as they see the American flag, they stop looking. That's the problem.
Oh, no, I can't get involved with this. He doesn't know. He calls it soccer,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Soccer.
But the, what was the other one? The Pulisic got the penalty. Weah earned that penalty. Weah's another. I mean, we're just... talking glowingly about these players, but Weah was also spectacular.
We got too much good happening. Again, this is after the Ghana game.
Yeah, yeah. This is not a typical Cooligans episode of all this positivity, but you got to give credit where credit's due. Weah earned that penalty. Again, even in that buildup, in that first half, just like Ghana looked intimidated. We don't intimidate that many teams unless it's like Barbados, and we're playing a CONCACAF team. So I was just...
St. Kitts and Nevis.
Okay.
Our
fierce rival.
Yeah. Our San Marino. Did you see San Marino scored?
San Marino did score.
Finally. Yeah, that was crazy.
It's huge.
And that's the first time in, a couple months or years?
No, I think it's like 700 days.
Something like that. It was the first goal of this qualification cycle for
so they tied against Denmark and then they were up for I think 9 minutes.
Rasmus Højlund was upset. He said that the whoever was covering him was playing him very rough, was trying to injure him.
Yes.
And I honestly just think the guy doesn't know any better. You know what I mean? The guy's a baker, dude. You know what I mean?
No, but it's just the defender was actually an injury lawyer. And he was trying to get
him. He was like, I know a guy.
I know a guy. It's me. Have you seen my bus ad?
Yeah.
happy for them. But then they ended up losing. Even the what is it? This is the for
they
the Euros.
Still went out and
the qualification for Euro. Norway isn't. Are they out officially? Or
they're
like
no, they're done. No, they're done.
Yeah,
they're
done.
Are they really?
So yeah. Odegaard and Erling Haaland just will never see like any kind of European tournament. Jeez. Because they just play on a team that's just not very good. And
you figure with both of those guys,
you would think that would be enough, but no.
Especially when you're qualifying against teams like San Marino, Liechtenstein, and North Macedonia.
Nah, they can't do it. They can't. North Macedonia is like, I think in their...
No.
They're not out. Are they out?
They're not out.
They're out, but it's better than Norway.
But that's because Italy's there.
Damn, bro. So speaking of Italy, let's move on.
I wouldn't bet on them.
We got to talk.
Sandro Tonali would.
Hey, Sandro Tonali right now is sweating.
We tease this.
He's like, I got 50K on them qualifying, bro. This is...
Bro,
stressful.
I mean, look, we all know players should not be involved in gambling. I mean, Pete Rose didn't teach us anything. I mean, this is...
He's too old, bro. They don't remember that.
They don't remember Pete Rose.
Bro, I'm not sure that's the reason Sandro Tonali doesn't know about Pete Rose, bro. There may be some other reasons.
But, Sandro Tonali of Newcastle, obviously, big money move. Cardi B, we know Cardi B. Big money move to
Newcastle.
She making
money moves, bro.
From AC Milan. And he's doing well at Newcastle. Newcastle, they won their Champions League.
He might have a little bit too much time on his hands.
Yeah. And apparently he's been caught in a betting scandal. It's and not only did he get caught, but he has completely admitted to it.
Well, what else are you gonna do?
Yeah. So he's basically doing the like.
You got me.
You got me. Give me, be a little lenient with me. Yeah. This is just a quick synopsis from Sky Sports so we can hear.
I was Ben, but I wasn't Ben.
This is from Sky Sports. Here goes.
Yeah, Joe, bad news. This sounds not just for Newcastle United, but for Sandro Tonali himself as well. After news emerged this morning that Sandro Tonali has admitted to betting on football matches in which both he played and in which both he didn't play during his time at AC Milan.
So he admitted to betting in games that he played in and that he didn't play in, but for AC Milan. And it's just really... It's just not a good look. There's no way.
This is bad.
This is really, really bad. And he's basically admitting to everything just to get as lenient a penalty or as lenient a ban as possible. The ban is usually 3 years. I think that's the most you can get. Some people are speculating that it might be somewhere around a year because he is cooperating with the investigation. But it seems like it's a bigger thing. So this is...
he's not the only one.
He's not the only one because this Zaniolo from Villa?
Aston Villa.
From Aston Villa. Tonali and Zaniolo were on the Italian national team. They got called up. They were supposed to play against England during this international break. They were sent home because of this investigation. And then now... The other name at Juventus is Nicolo Fagiolo.
Yeah. Also known as Nicolo Pasta Fagiolo.
Okay.
I was going to say, his last name means beans. Fagioli beans.
There was an article.
It was Ben his beans.
There was an article in The Athletic about it.
That's an unfortunate ad.
No, we're not looking at it. But I'm just going to, real quick, I mean, it got very, very serious. So this is from The Athletic. Fagioli's tears at the Mapei Stadium were those of someone in too deep. He had received threats of physical violence, quote, I'll break your legs, unquote, from third parties he assumes must somehow be linked to any of the illegal betting platforms on which he staked money. He spiraled, betting more in an attempt to recover his losses. His gambling debts to illegal and legal bookies totaled almost 3 million euros.
We've all been there, bro. A late Sunday night chase. He had all the money on Hawaii, I guarantee.
How does it get...
You're remembering your parlays?
I know.
I think at the end of the day, this is why I think when people say they don't want to legalize gambling, to me it's stupid because even with legal gambling, people will seek out
illegal
means to gamble.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's, again, you're not going to get an email from a reputable thing saying, just to let you know you're over. We're going to break your legs.
Your bank, we asked the bank. Your bank is saying that it's not going to be that.
This is what I don't like is I tend to forgive addiction because it's something that we've learned through.
Yeah.
A lot of, health and mental health research, I should say, that it is out of the person's control. The difficult thing is saying, how is it that we're at a point, like now there's a question whether AC Milan knew this was coming when they sold him. Because remember, he was crying. He's like, I don't want to leave. They're like, no, you got to go. And this year specifically. No, we cannot wait till the January transfer window. I promise you. They sold him to Newcastle. Were they aware
yeah,
when they sold him?
That's been the question.
Especially how a significant a player he was. Granted, you got a lot of money for him. Begs the question, what type of background, search does a Newcastle do? What type of vetting do they do on these players? Yeah. And then third is there someone available for these players at their clubs where they can go, I need help? And I'm not saying they asked and they didn't get. So it's very possible that they have it and we're just not aware of it. But is there somewhere where these players can say, hey, I think this might be an addiction. I need help.
Yeah.
And because to be betting on legal and illegal, the moment you bet to make up ground for money you've lost that you don't have,
yeah,
you have a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's scary. I mean, and I think that's what Tonali is basically doing. He has said, I think this is through...
He threw his hands up like the Ghana defender. Said, yeah. All right.
He has said that he has a gambling addiction and he's being very forthright about it. So there's an interesting thing about this.
Doesn't he look like that actor, Adam Driver?
He does look like Adam Driver.
Yeah.
That's a good call. That's
Adam
good
Driver
call.
should play him
a little
in the
shorter,
movie.
In
the
a
movie.
Shorter.
A little shorter, a little stockier, but he's got kind of like the Adam Driver face.
Okay. Some people, he's zaddy to some, mm-hmm. you know. People love
Adam Driver. De Niro starting in the Tonali store. Who plays Fajul?
So it makes me think about the, and maybe these are apples to oranges, but the situation with Paul Pogba, when it comes to a positive drug test on a possible performance enhancing drug, it's I don't know, is it a little bit more vicious? He was trying to recover from an injury. People are like, you know, he knew the rules, get him out of the game. To me, gambling seems like should bring out a little bit more vitriol than
you think that fans take this lighter than a performance enhancing drug.
I've seen more kindness and just being more a little bit more gentle with a gambling addiction over testing positive for a performance enhancing drug. And it's obviously, you can't, they're not the exact same thing, but it seems that this, I saw somebody else, I can't remember who it was, but I think it was a former athlete talking about this and basically said like, nah, bro, I can't even trust you as a teammate if I find out that you're gambling on games I'm playing in and I'm playing with you.
It goes against the sanctity of the sport where performance enhancement drugs, to me, I think 9 times out of 10, and there's no data behind this, it feels like 9 times out of 10, especially in soccer, it's used in order to recover from injury, to get back on the pitch.
Right.
Or it's not to be like superhuman on the pitch.
Yeah. Yeah. Or to, I mean, even
like Barry Bonds wasn't
to your
just trying to get back. You know what I mean? His skull size grew. You know what I mean? Like,
what you mean my neck grew three to four times? This is how I've always looked.
No, I had a dislocated toe. I was trying to get back out there. You know what I mean?
So look, my doctor told me, that's all.
So I took some sort of superhuman serum.
Even Barry Bonds' teammates are like, well, he's in a bunch of dingers. I'm not going to complain. I mean,
no.
This is a thing that, yeah, does call.
Throwing the game is the issue here. Everyone else.
Because that's what people would be worried
that's
about.
That's what you assume. Because that's how you affect. You can't just play better because you know you got money on the line. You got to bet against you and play worse.
So that's the thing with Fagioli.
Uh-huh.
He has all these gambling debts and getting threatened. And my man won Young Player of the Year award in Serie A. So it's just like, maybe that's why he needed to like to thrive.
Yeah. Maybe that was how he grew. That's how he arrived every day. He knew someone was going to break his legs.
I don't recommend it.
No.
But I'm just
You might want to find a new way to get inspired.
Okay.
But in the meantime,
read Will Smith's book, bro. Yeah.
You know what? Don't read Will Smith's book.
That will inspire you in some way. It's just kind of wild. And then the other thing with this was also in The Athletic. This is such a weird part of the story. So the names, Juventus teammates Federico Gatti and Radu Dragusin, right?
Who's now at Genoa,
said, so apparently Fagioli asked for money. He asked for 40,000 euros from each of them. And he says, and it was, quote, under the pretext that he wanted to buy a watch, but was unable to do so because his mother looked after his bank account. Unknown to them, Fagioli sought the loans to pay down his gambling debts. So he was borrowing money from his teammates to pay down gambling debts. And then, so their names are now in sort of implicated in right. this story. And Federico Gatti was the guy who
Chesney passed the ball Chesney to, in the Champions and he passed game. It directly into an open goal.
Looking a little sus. Gatti in trouble.
So it's just like, Gatti's just like, bro, I just lent you money for your damn watch.
You think Gatti went to him and said, yo, I need my money back. And he's like, how about you get it?
He's like, I got a parlay for you, Fede.
No way for you get it with, with a little sum on top.
So I'm going to assume you can't implicate them in any of the gambling stuff, but it's just the worst thing to be implicated in this at all, because you know this kid is asking to borrow money from you.
Yeah,
so it's just a bad, because he's putting his teammates also in a really, really bad.
He also is the one who snitched on Tonali. He was like, Tonali's the one who gave me the betting app. Tonali's like, yo, chill, bro. I got another investigation over here.
It is an addiction. It is, you know, it is something that we need to be definitely, you know, show some kindness.
I was going to say too, going off of that, a big thing I've been seeing just on social media is a lot of people being like, well, it's so hypocritical now of these leagues to be like, oh, gambling is so bad, but then every ad you see is right. for one of the betting. How do you guys feel? Do you think like there's a problem with that? Like, do the leagues just need to completely get out of the betting business?
No, because the NFL does this with rookies. They'll sit them down and be like, okay,
it's not just rookies. Every player at the beginning of every year in the NFL has to go through a gambling
program. But it's not just
program.
That. Like, rookies get a, hey, here's what you might find comes next.
Yeah,
like,
yes. Somebody
you
might
see
approach
these
you.
Women in your DMs. They're right, not right, here right. for, yeah, they yeah, don't yeah. love you, bro.
right.
They try ask your other teammates. They've already been there. Like, there's things to look out for. I feel like a lot of these players, I would say 99.9 of these players came through academies. I think it's the responsibility of the academies to be like,
yeah,
look, we know you want to gamble. Here's why you can't.
Yeah.
And show the examples. Show what Ivan Toney's
like,
going through.
Like,
show what Tonali's going through.
Deion Sanders with Colorado. He invited Brittany Renner to talk to.
That was at Jacksonville State at his older job.
That was at his last job.
So, but he was just like, yo, these are the type of girls you're going to see. Right. And even she was just like, yeah, I'm the problem.
Type of girl. She's like, here's how I'm going to get you caught up.
So that's why we need you. Bring these.
Right. She's like, we will suck your dick. We don't want to suck your dick.
Okay. But you're going to make so much money that we are forced to.
Right? Okay? It's all part of our plan.
We will destroy your lives.
Yeah, we're going to fleece you through your dicks.
So just be on the lookout for people like us.
You know? Anytime someone wants to suck your dick, they're trying to take your money.
Okay? Look, that's 101.
Yeah. Right. And then she's like, hey, after, you want to meet? And the guy's like, yeah. I'm like, look, already! You're failing!
That was a trap. It was a trap.
She turned off the little soft... She turned on the soft voice.
Yeah.
And you fell for it.
Jeez, dude. We just went over it, man.
She said, something about you is just different. That's it. Right there.
That's it.
Yeah.
You're done.
You're done. Give up.
You're cooked.
So, it's as far as the question about should the leagues have some responsibility, I think this is a, like you said, Alexis said earlier, whether it's illegal or legal, people are going to find a way to do it if they are addicted to doing it. I mean, look, the standard has to be higher for the athletes themselves. I mean, I can understand. I've had friends that have had, gambling addictions, and there's a certain level of sympathy that I offer that's a little bit more than an athlete. Like, bro, you worked your entire life to get to this point, and you are paid handsomely for it. Right. And I understand that there's an addiction problem, but it is, you know, the rules are the rules. And there's like if it's office policy to not gamble or whatever, there's something to the fact that they know what they're getting involved. They are warned.
I mean, just think about if you work for a major corporation and you shorted it on the stock market
right.
and your boss found out, you'd be like, I'm not sure you're trying to work as hard as you can.
Well, I was going to say, bro, it's not even the players. When I used to work for the MLB, when I did, I wasn't allowed to bet on the MLB while I was an employee there.
Right, so it's
not just the players. They're telling everyone, hey, if you are a part of this like corporation, you're not allowed
to.
Right,
the secretary can't even bet on these games.
And you think you can? The reality is that the players also make more money in their contracts because of these betting sponsors.
No, 100%.
So they are getting paid. I mean, I understand that there's a thrill in the gambling aspect, but they
it's also like a light way to do it, right? With like your friends, like
at a
hey,
casino,
I'll buy dinner.
Hey, or I'll go to a casino.
I don't think they're allowed to bet at casinos either.
Oh, they're not. Interesting.
No.
Okay, I didn't know.
But
that.
I think like, hey, if we beat your team tonight, then you buy me dinner. There's a light way. Maybe you don't get the same, you know, as like the parlays and all that, or maybe like some of the prop bets, like, oh, how many corners I can take? I can influence that. And that's where that's why it's illegal.
If I win, we do a wife swap. That's a lot, I guess. But maybe it will give you the thrill you
they're
need.
They're like, or how about this? If I win, you got to pay Brittany Renner. She's on me, man. I thought I was different.
I fell for it.
Damn. I sat through that whole thing.
Dion brought her in everything, bro. Couldn't believe
it. She emailed me and said, I want to suck it there. It wasn't even anything else in there. And so I still fell for it, dude.
Oh, my goodness. Let's move on. We got to get to our conversation with Chris Ewing.
By the way, check out the DraftKings app. Make sure to sign up now. Download today.
Wait, hold on, please. Tonali, you can stop listening right now.
If you are a professional athlete in any capacity, do not do that.
Yeah. But the rest of y'all, check out DraftKings.
And bet responsibly, okay?
Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's on the bottom of all the apps and everything.
100%.
If you really do, if you have a problem.
There are resources available.
Yeah, if you
everyone.
Think you have a problem, get it taken care of. Don't let it ruin your life. Trust me, man. That one crazy parlay with five teams and how many corners and all that, that's not going to save you, man.
Exactly. You're going to be asking teammates to help pay some debts.
Do you know people with 40K that could just lend it to you? Because I don't.
I do not either.
If I went to Chris and said, give me 40K, Chris is like, if you find it, let me know.
All right, but let's get to our conversation with Chris Ewing. Owner of Caledonian Braves, a club in Scotland that you can be an owner of as well. So,
yeah.
If
you are a professional athlete, you can own it. You can also own part.
That's totally allowed. All right, so here goes. Here's our conversation with Chris Ewing.
We are audiostack.ai.
Combining AI writing, the best synthetic voices,
with production and delivery.
Be it ads, podcasts, or VOs for video.
Just like this ad. How would you utilize AI audio? For free.
Go to audiostack.ai/contest.
Give us just a few details.
And you could replace this spot and be heard by millions.
See webpage for T's and C's. audiostack.ai/contest.
Look at this, huh?
Hey, from across the pond.
We've got owners hanging out with us now.
Okay, this is
the level we're reaching.
Okay, we are the box seat cooligans, all right? Things are different.
Bro, right? We back, baby. Huh? We're hanging out with owners. We should have cigars for this episode. This is the owner of the Caledonian Braves, which you might have seen on social media. Absolutely incredible. It's a team in Scotland in the lower divisions fighting their way to the top of the Premiership. Come on, ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Chris Ewing, everybody.
Chris, what's good, man?
Hey guys,
yeah, applauding for himself.
Well done, sir. Chris Ewing, and as New Yorkers, the name Ewing holds a high place in our hearts because of Patrick Ewing. All right, I don't know if you're
33.
I don't know if you're gonna get that reference at all, but I just had to say it. But
yeah, of course, I do. Patrick Ewing, legend.
Let's go.
There you go. I like this guy already.
Chris, all right. You are the owner of the Caledonian Braves.
But it's a different type of ownership.
That's right. This is a community-funded club. We've seen things like this before in the past. This is we've seen this in the United States a couple times. I don't know how many clubs in Scotland have done something like this. So maybe this is like a kind of a very new endeavor in Scotland. But please give us the elevator pitch for the Caledonian Braves.
Yeah, guys. So thanks for having me. I'm Chris. I'm the founding owner of Caledonian Braves. Up until about a month ago, I was the only owner. I'm now part of an ownership group that exceeds 650 owners from around the world.
Wow.
think 46 of the 50 states in the United States also represented in the ownership group. So it's a very exciting time for the club. We are the first club in Scotland to do this. We are actually the youngest senior football club in Scotland. Scottish football is 150 years old this year. And we are Scotland's youngest senior football club. So the idea is to give football back to the fans, flip the narrative, prove to folk that you don't have to be a millionaire, you don't have to be a movie star, you don't have to be a quarterback to own a football club. You know, you can be a podcast host, a stand-up comedian, or a taxi driver in New York City, and you can also own a football club in Scotland. So it's really exciting, you know, and I'm really proud to give football back to the fans, I guess, you know.
Now, this is impressive. What is it? Give us what is the idea? Someone listening to this show says, you know what? I got a little bit of money. Mm. Or I could shake my couch cushions and find some. Maybe a little bit. Take something out of the kids' college fund.
they don't need it.
Right? They're stupid, this kid.
How much? College degrees ain't really worth that much.
Nah, vocational. Learn to change tires, kid. We dropped you on your head too many times. But how much does somebody need to become part owner? One of the 650, number 651.
Yeah, so I get the price point is $100. So we're actually on an American crowdfunding platform called WeFunder, and the minimum investment is $100. So to answer your question, for $100, you can own a football club. I don't think you can get better than that today. I don't think.
Okay, I have to ask you as a Scottish person. I don't know how much time you spent in the U.S., but does it confuse you that how you are selling shares of this club is how we pay for our medical bills in this country?
I thought this was about soccer and not politics. We have to be very careful where we're going with this.
We need nothing to do with politics.
We need your help, Chris. Yeah. Help fix this country. That's all.
Here's what I
can
do. I can either pay for my friend's broken leg, help him pay for it, or I can own a football team. But all jokes aside, you've gotten a lot of interest. You've got a lot of interest from Americans. Why do you think all of a sudden Americans who traditionally, especially folks across the pond from right around where you're from, have sort of maybe chastised or looked down at Americans' involvement in the sport. Now, look at how much interest there is from Americans to be a part owner of a lower league club. Talk to me a little bit about how that feels.
Yeah, and I think it's quite funny that it's actually a Canadian that brought that one to the table, you know, with Ryan Reynolds at Wrexham. But yeah, I think, you know, soccer, football, whatever you want to call it in America, is booming at the moment, you know, and I think one thing that we do have in Europe, and particularly with Caledonian Braves, is the fact that we're part of a pyramid system, and we do have the opportunity to go up through the pyramid. Promotion and relegation, I know that's another hot topic in the United States, you know, with the franchise model that you have. But I think there's also that element of romance, you know. I think most people love Scotland, they like the idea of Scotland, you know, it conjures up images of the great football teams from back in the days, you know, like Celtic in 1967, the first British club to win the European Cup. And I think a lot of folk have affinity towards Scotland, the Scottish people, in the way that we play football in Scotland, which is very much heart on your sleeve, you know, working class, with a lot of endeavour. And I think the Americans love that, you know.
What is, I mean, for potential Americans that want to get involved, let me give them a little bit of a background in Scotland. Could you explain what a salt and, I hope I'm saying this correctly, because it sounds like something I might want. What is a salt and chili munchie box?
Okay. Oh, no. A salt and, that's generally, you usually get that on the way home from the pub.
Okay. Yeah, it sounds a bit graphic, I'll be honest.
It sounds like, right? That's in your search history on Pornhub.
Listen, do you know any other country in the world that deep fries their pizzas?
Yes, right. So Pizza Crunch, right? You deep fry frozen pizza.
Yeah, and we also, believe it or not, and I've yet to try this myself, but we also deep fry Mars bars, which is a chocolate bar, you know?
Yeah.
Oh. So
the only time Americans get Mars bars is around Halloween. It's not sold regularly here in America, but you get mini ones during Halloween. It's the only time. So it's coming.
I mean, they
right
are sold. I mean, if you're eating
you
them.
You can't just go find a Mars bar.
I mean,
country.
If you got a problem, you can find it.
Right. If you were like, you just outside, the, oh man, I need some of that munchie box and a Mars bar.
But Chris, I, you know, we've had conversations with people involved in football in the United States. At MLS clubs, and we've heard this. So I'm curious about your the challenges that you face being an owner, trying to get your club from the lower divisions and climbing up the ladder. Because we've heard from sporting directors, other owners, and kind of off the record, they've basically said that if the Premier League started today, they would not do a they would not have a
they promotion would have the, relegation. Yeah, they would use a franchise system like the NFL or NBA.
Right. So the emotional toil and stress exists for owners, for fans. But when it comes to the day to day in running the club, how what are the challenges and frustrations that you face to trying to move the club up to the next level?
Yeah, well, it's a good, really good question. I mean, the biggest challenge we have is the fact that we're a brand new football club. So, as I said earlier on, Scottish football is 150 years old. We were formed in 2019, so we don't have the tradition and the history of some of the other clubs, particularly in the west of Scotland. There's so many professional clubs around the same area as us. Particularly, you guys will know Rangers and Celtic, I guess, for the most part. So that's the challenge. It's how do we attract a new fan base? How do we attract sponsorship? How can we actually pay the players so that we can have a better quality of player? One of the challenges we had this season is we just lost seven of our best players because we couldn't afford to keep them, so they went to other clubs. So this is one of the reasons as well that I opened up this ownership opportunity to the world, because quite simply alone, I'm not a millionaire. And even if I was, my wife would probably divorce me, kill me first probably, if I put all my money into a football club. So it's really exciting for me to be able to share this, you know. So that's the idea, is that we prove to folk that the community is not just local. A community can be global if we share the same passion, the same desires, the same values. And that's proven today with internet, with social media, creating content, and essentially bringing people into the club. So the challenges are that, the fact that we're brand new. But on the flip side of that, that's also the opportunity. We're not hindered by tradition. We don't have a committee of old, dare I say, old guys who sit in the boardroom with their blazers on. You know, we can be forward-thinking, we can be innovative. And when we get people from all over the world investing in the club, it just, you know, it just is so cool. You know, it's just such a buzz, you know, that guys from New York are investing, guys from California, people from India, people from Spain. And that's what football is all about, you know. It's about bringing people together, you know.
Yeah, in fact, let's say Christian and I decided to toss in $200. Mm. What yeah. do we get if we show up at the park? Do we get to sit in the owner's box? Is it all types of crustaceans, or is it just munchie boxes? What are the benefits?
Well, you get to tell your pals that you're a owner of a football club in Scotland, which is a good starting point. Ultimately, what we want to do is obviously offer people the opportunity to come to Scotland, to visit Scotland. We actually just had a couple of owners who came from North Carolina to visit the team in Scotland. They did a TikTok video. It was seen by over 1 million people on TikTok, you know, so it was great. So the idea as well is that fans essentially have a voice, you know. It's almost a blue-collar soccer club, I feel like. Everyone gets a voice, no matter where you are in the world, no matter how much money you have. You get to vote. You get to actually participate in the strategy of the club. You look at some of the big clubs, you look at the Champions League, you know, Newcastle United, PSG, the money's coming in from Saudi Arabia, from the Middle East. You know, it's to prove to folk that this is about football fans. You know, it's giving it back to the fans, you know, and creating that sense of community around the club, which for me, in my opinion, sometimes a lot of the bigger clubs, they don't give their fans due consideration, you know, and that's a big, big frustration.
Well, great. I can't believe I didn't even mention, Chris, I actually own an oil refinery. So I come from quite a bit of money.
Right.
Yeah, there you go. So you get signed up then. WeFunder.
Yeah.
Well, you should have .com/CBFC when you go.
Add a couple zeros to that 100, Chris. Okay. This kid's got money, you know.
So, and I find this stuff fascinating because I think the story is, you know, we I think Welcome to Wrexham kind of put this in a lot of people's minds of just like how
All or Nothing was also very popular, which is where they got the idea. I mean, you know, these documentaries are kind of sweeping the nation a little bit and getting people who were not even casually a fan of the sport all of a sudden now really into it. At least Wrexham, somebody.
Right.
You know?
And but it shows sort of the emotional side of it, of just like the romance of the game.
Right, the human side of it.
Yeah, and how difficult it could be. But I'm also like interested in like the analytics, the front office, how do you mention,
give us a spreadsheet. Well, this guy's asking for.
Well, you mentioned losing seven players. I mean, how is that a huge challenge as well in building a culture of the club where the players want to stay? Is it, do they leave because they have better monetary offers? Is it, you know, what is the draw to sort of keep them there as an owner?
Yeah, I mean, that's essentially that's what it is. Yeah, they get more money elsewhere. You know, some of the guys got the divisions, you know, so there's that kind of opportunity for them to play at a higher level, which is great. So we become almost to a certain extent victims of our own success, yeah. Because we recruit young players who are hungry. A lot of young players who've been at pro clubs, been released, still very good players, you know, but they need to be in an environment where they can enjoy their football again. So that's what we do. But now the next step is how do we not only keep those players, but then actually add with a better quality. One of the things we have in Scotland is, in terms of a purely investment opportunity, is it takes far less money and investment to go from Tier 5 in Scotland to the Premier League than it would to go from any other Tier 5 league in any other country in Europe to the Premiership. If you were to go from Tier 5 in England to the Premiership, it's going to cost you hundreds of millions of dollars. You know, same in Germany, same in Italy, same in Spain. To go from Tier 5 in Scotland to the Premiership, it's far less investment required.
Now, when you're talking about the Scottish Premiership, here's an idea that gets tossed around every once in a while. I'd love to know, well, do you have an affinity for another club? Are you a fan of any other clubs besides the one you own?
Yeah, I grew up a Rangers fan. So, yeah, in Glasgow, you're, for the most part, your Rangers are Celtic. And I was born a Rangers fan, yeah.
Now, a thing that gets tossed around a lot is that they should have Celtic and Rangers because they are the two big powerhouses in the Scottish Premiership. They should move them to the Premier League or somewhere within the English pyramid, probably to the Premier League. Do you think that would help or hurt the rest of the Scottish teams?
It's a very good question, and that's something that's been debated. I think, ultimately, the English football don't necessarily want them, I don't think. I think it would probably, if I'm being honest, it would probably help Scottish football. It would probably help Scottish football thrive. You know, Rangers, I don't know if you recall, a few years ago, Rangers were relegated to the fourth division because of some, mm-hmm. had some financial issues.
Administration, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was administration. And you could probably argue that that was probably the best, you know, it was good for Scottish football, that, to be honest. You know, and some of the clubs in the Premier League, you know, thrived under that, you know. So that, for me, was an opportunity for Scottish football to reconstruct. I think they missed that opportunity. But certainly in Glasgow, you know, you get football fans are so passionate. You know, you get half the city's Rangers, half the city's Celtic, and it's such a cauldron for football and the passions there. And it's really, really interesting. Glasgow's a city for that, you know.
All right. Yeah,
we got to get to an old firm.
Yeah, that Glasgow
as well. I don't know if you guys recall, they had the American, you had Alejandro Bedoya, we had...
Yeah, of course.
Carlos Bocanegra. Moidu,
yeah.
Claudio Reyna.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Rangers just had James Sands, who is an NYCFC player, who we're fans and friends of. So that was cool. I'm curious about the...
Also, Malik Tillman.
Malik Tillman
was
there
last year.
Currently there. No, no.
No, there last year. Yeah.
He went
PSV?
Back.
Mm-hmm.
PSV, yeah, he went back. I think he got recalled. But yeah, he was good. He was top quality, yeah.
The one thing I do love is the marketing campaign for the Caledonian Braves FC is which is you. You are a huge part of the marketing campaign.
You are a star, dude.
So I'm curious about if this is something, you know, you've done some really great TikToks. My favorite one, which your, I guess, social media person in the video is saying, Americans are going to love this. And you're like, nah, I really don't want to do this. And Americans are going to love it. And then it's you in the Braveheart, the whole Braveheart garb. Getting to do this kind of stuff. I mean, we're comedians. This is our wheelhouse to have kind of fun like this. Is this something that comes natural to you, to be in front of the camera and be a little silly sometimes?
Nah, being silly, yeah, for sure. It comes natural. Being silly in front of a camera, not so natural. But you have to go with the flow, you know. You have to, if you believe in it, you have to do it. You know, I always say we take the club seriously, we take the job seriously, but you never take yourself seriously, do you know what I mean? And it should be fun. And to get back to the whole point of the club is about people. You know, you mentioned Wrexham. People love Welcome to Wrexham because it's real, it's raw, it's passionate, you know. It's warts and all. It's not just Champions League. It's real people. And that's the same with Caledonian Braves. You get to know me. I'm the owner of the club. I'm very fortunate. I had the idea to open up a club, and I worked very hard to do it. But I'm just a normal guy. You know, I'm a guy that used to play football in my backyard. You know, I had a scholarship in America. I love the sport. The sport's been very kind to me. And I want to share that with people, you know. And I think people respect that. They appreciate that. And I think that's what people want to be involved in. They want to be involved in that community where it's real life, real people, real football, real passion, and the ups and downs, you know.
Now, here's what we found out. We started this podcast in 2015, and the idea we originally had was, look, two comedians we're going to joke about the sport that we love dearly, help grow it in our country, and people are going to love it. And here's what we found out is that, yes, a lot of people did love it, but there is this massive core of diehard football fans, just dye-in-the-wool football fans, who don't like any type of joking around about this sport whatsoever because it's basically a religion to them. But you are come from the other side of the pond, but yet you have this sort of what I would call almost like an American appeal to the way you promote the sport. You're fun. You don't take yourself seriously. You're willing to be silly. You're willing to put yourself out there. And have you found that you've met the same folks that we met early on who said, don't you dare talk about our sport this way?
Yeah, no, it's been fun. I think the big problem I had is I almost got kicked out of the house because I was running about Glasgow in a big banana costume. My daughter, who's 14, she was mortified. She was too embarrassed. Said, "Dad, you can't do that," you know. But I thought, you know, we need to, you know, it's all part and parcel of it. TikTok, you know, is obviously a platform where we kind of have a bit of fun. And we tried to engage with the Savannah Bananas. We tried to, you know, challenge them to a kickball tournament. And they never picked up on it. So if anyone from the Savannah Bananas is listening to this, you know, give us a call. You know, we'll sort that one out.
No, I love.
We got to help make that connection.
Yeah, I love these ideas.
You being an oil tycoon, I'm sure you
exactly.
Can just...
I mean, I'm very well connected. Most of my contacts are in Qatar, but I'll see what I can.
That's fine. All right, we'll work on it. I do have a question. Obviously, the players that you get to sign are folks that are trying their hardest to get to the higher levels, be even more professional. I'm sure you have a focus on nutrition. How much Iron Brew do you limit them to each week?
That's the win bonus.
Okay, they got to earn it.
Did you guys know that Scotland is the only country in the world where Coca-Cola is not the leading soft drink?
Wow.
Yes, Iron Brew is number one.
I did not know that.
Did you know that Iron Brew is one, originally from New York, and two, marketed heavily in Latin America as Cola Champagne? So we've had it before. We grew up with it. Yes, it's a very Latin thing.
Do you know why it's so popular in Scotland?
Why is that?
Because it's
twice the sugar is Coke?
Fantastic hangover cure.
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
I was going to say, how come no one in Scotland has thought to put vodka in it? Because that's what we do in Latin America, or rum. It tastes so good.
Yeah, I'm sure in Scotland they've done everything with Iron Brew. I'm sure they have.
He's like, buddy, we've done it all.
What you said, you mentioned you studied in America. Where did you study? What part of the country did you stay in?
Yeah, so I was very fortunate to get a soccer scholarship at Adelphi University in Long Island in New York.
You Long Island? I don't even hear your accent.
Nah, I lost it when I moved to France. But I love America. I love New York in particular. What a city, you know, what a place. I got a lot of great friends still there. And actually, New York changed my life like it has done for so many people. But I came to America in 1994 for the World Cup. My cousin played for Ireland, and Ireland played Italy in the Giant Stadium.
I was Ireland at that game.
Won. Whoa.
I was at that game. That's the first professional match I ever went to.
Wow. Yeah, well,
how
I was
crazy
at that game
that?
As well. Yeah, I was at that game, and a guy from Glasgow scored the only goal of the game, Ray Houghton. I don't know if you guys remember Ray Houghton. He played for Liverpool.
Okay, yeah, no.
Ray Houghton, the announcer? Magisterial?
No, Houghton.
Oh, I was like, I thought he was Scottish, yeah.
Ray Houghton.
Houghton, yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah,
so
wow.
He's from Glasgow. So I was at that game, and it changed my life because I saw New York. And before that, it was just the TV, you know. But you get to New York, and you're just like, wow, what a place, man, you know. What a place. Just such energy. And I love it, you know, and I'm so proud. We actually have someone who's at the, who works at the New York Giants who invested in the club. Who works in football operations, you know, and we have some folk in the NFL and the NBA who are interested in investing in the club. We actually have some scientists from NASA who've invested in the club.
Wow, well, then we have to. Okay. I didn't know fellow geniuses were involved.
The brilliant mind. I mean,
wait till they find out we also will be involved. I know a lot of times Scottish people, you even mentioned when we first started, how good are you with a Scottish accent? Scottish people sometimes get picked on a little bit for the accent they have. But how much of a culture shock was it when you first heard someone from Long Island speak?
Yeah, it must have been pretty jarring.
Because you must have been like, this can't be the same language.
I remember in America, you know, used to no one understood me. They always used to say to me that I need to speak slowly, and I said, "No, you need to listen fast." But that was a challenge. But I did have a few like girls said to me that my accent sounded like music. So I'd take that any day, you know.
Okay. Ooh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Like the flirting.
That's yeah. Like, yeah. That's how you get the girls, bro.
Yeah, yeah, dog. Sounds like.
If only I was good. If only I was good looking, you know. If only.
What position did you play in Delphi?
I'm gonna guess goalkeeper.
Substitute.
Substitute. Let's go.
No, I was,
well done.
Was,
yeah, yeah. I'm familiar with the role.
We say in Scotland, we have a joke. We say left back in the dressing room, you know. Left back in the dressing room.
Left back in the dressing room, bro.
I've never heard that one, and I'm upset that I haven't yet.
Yeah, no, it's been sitting there the whole time. And two professional comedians couldn't think of it. It's very upsetting.
See, the thing is, I was a forward, but I always say I was far too technical for Scotland, you know, because I was too good with the ball at my feet. And I'm 6'4". They used to put it up here in the air to hit it, and I was horrible in the air. So I often joke, if I was born in Spain or Argentina, I'd have probably had a World Cup by now, you know. But there you go. I was born in Scotland, you know.
Well, Chris, this has been absolutely incredible. Can you just let people know again where they can find Caledonian Braves and how they can become an owner themselves?
Yeah, guys. So if anyone's interested in finding out a bit more or investing in the club and becoming an owner, they can visit the WeFunder site. So it's www.wefunder.com/CBFC. CBFC, like Caledonian Braves Football Club.
CBFC, let's go. Let's go. Yeah, we'll put obviously all the links in the descriptions and everything. But Chris, thank you so much for taking the time. This is super cool. And obviously, best of luck with Caledonian Braves. And I'm just like when we watch Wrexham and we see them, climb up the divisions, I think Ben Foster's available. He just left Wrexham.
He's got a good podcast.
He does.
Well.
He's doing great.
Yeah, no, Foscast
as well. He's doing awesome. But we wish you the best. And like you said, everybody, go support Caledonian Braves and become an owner of a Scottish football club.
Guys, thanks a lot. I'm going to send you guys some jerseys. Okay.
I would love it.
That would be amazing. Thank you so much.
You make them in double XL. Remember your time in America? Big here.
Triple XL.
No, if it's tight, then yes.
Shout out to Chris Ewing.
That was it's so dope that we got a team owner.
Mm. Okay,
just hanging out with us.
All right, and you can be an owner. We can be owner. We could all be owners,
but
be a part of it. So, shout out to Chris Ewing. Thank you so much for coming through. WeFunder.com/CBFC. If you would like to be a part of the journey of Caledonian Braves and become an owner, the minimum investment, I believe, is $100.
Yeah, $100.
Go for it, Chris Ewing. A great dude on doing a great project out there in Scotland. Maybe one day we'll go to a game.
Yeah, okay. And he loves New York.
Yeah, so well, I'm sure.
So if you're a New Yorker, love him back.
Okay, we'll link up in the future. Just another reminder, join the Patreon, patreon.com/soccercooligans as well.
It'd be really cool if you did.
Yeah, because we have a very special episode dropping shortly, talking about a lot of the drama in WOSO that's going on right now.
Yeah.
So I think
we recorded it on a hill with one tree.
Yes. Hopefully people get the reference. Mm-hmm. But yes, so make sure you join today for
like,
that.
It's part of it would make you want to throw a shoe at them during a press conference.
Damn, bro.
If you're not picking up on what Alexa's saying, you don't know. You simply don't know.
You simply do not know.
You can't get fooled again. Anyway.
Fooled once. That's on you. Fooled twice. The hell you doing? Okay, so, I don't know what the real quote is, but it's dumber than what I just said.
Ours is better, I think. Yeah. So go patreon.com/soccercooligans for that.
You just got to check it
exclusive
out.
Episode. Okay. Let's.
What do you call that space between two buildings? Sometimes people put like garbage in it.
An alley?
Oh, okay, cool. Anyway.
Yes.
I forgot.
You know, sometimes we do that. We just bring up random stuff.
Super random.
Alexis forgets what things are called.
Yeah, that's a new segment called Alexis Forgets.
Neymar.
Yeah.
Is in the news, and it's actually horrible news. He got injured while,
ACL and meniscus.
Yes. Right? Yeah. During the game against Uruguay, I believe. Mm-hmm. Who's he playing? I forgot. Brazil.
Yeah, they lost to Uruguay 2-0.
Yeah, so got kind of a shock, but not necessarily worried that Brazil's not going to make it.
Did
to
you know
the
that Brazil's coach, Geniz, do you know he's also still the coach of Fluminense?
Yeah, I did hear something like that because the issue, the former coach.
No, Ancelotti got the job after the Real Madrid.
But yeah, he can't say.
No, I think he's been pretty open.
Really?
About it, yeah.
Did he? I don't know if he's agreed to it officially.
Yeah, no, it's official.
Oh, it is official.
This is his last season at Real Madrid, and then he takes over the Brazil job. So, like, all right, cool. We found the new coach. They're like, hey, what about in the next year? There's going to be World Cup qualifying and stuff. They're like, oh, yeah.
And they had.
So we'll get a part-time coach because he already has a job. Fluminense, who Marcelo is at the team. And actually, he's going to be in the Copa Libertadores final for the first time. Fluminense's never been in the final or never won a final, one of the two.
Okay.
So he's doing great so far, but he's got two jobs.
Yeah, look at that.
He's got a coach Brazil who's in, what, third place?
Yeah, so, I mean, given the 2026 World Cup will have 48 teams, it's like, you know, it's basically like MLS playoffs, like 80%
yeah,
of Comebol
everybody
get
gets
it.
In. Everybody but Bolivia. You good.
I think there's only three spots that are out, and then there's a playoff.
No, it's the first six. Sixth is the playoff.
Okay,
so it used to be
the
top four. Fifth is the playoff.
But there's nine, right? How many countries? Nine or ten? Ten. Okay, ten. Okay, got it.
Remember when we had to do all those things?
Yeah.
It's horrific. He goes down crying. It's not even his sister's birthday.
Yeah. usually where time to celebrate. It's always the perfect timing, the injury. But
this is early. This is real. That's how you know it's real.
His sister was like, no, Neymar, what are you doing? This is
Neymar,
not.
No, get
my,
up.
My birthday's
we got time.
A few months away.
Yeah.
But this really sucks. It's a terrible injury. And obviously he's going to be out he probably will miss Copa America, you would think.
Yeah. You would assume this is a long injury, especially what he's 31, 32 now?
32, I believe.
32. I mean, he's not getting younger. But Al Hilal, that's his new team, which, I mean, he is beloved there, like a god.
He is. You know? They did a big ceremony when he arrived. But Al
Hilal. They paid, what, $99 million that we know of?
Yeah.
you've heard my theories, which, by the way, people keep saying in the comments that Qatar had already gotten the World Cup in 2010. I didn't say they got it because of Neymar.
Right. Yeah,
I was saying they hired him as an ambassador to kind of
for the future,
get the people to look away from the workers. look away. Oh yeah. Okay. Hey, look, everyone, Neymar's here. Spill the water.
It is a theory. That's all.
This is just a theory.
Yeah.
So he's beloved.
Beloved. And so Al Hilal acknowledging.
You gotta do something for your boy. He goes down.
We gotta acknowledge the
like where we from, they would do the airbrush shirts, the RIP shirts.
free Alexis. You were in prison.
RIP shampoo.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean?
Yeah. On a 4XL t-shirt.
Yeah, 100%.
That's to our knees, airbrush.
Airbrush.
We all know.
I got a bin in my mom's house of RIP shirts. Right? A lot of fallen soldiers. So you gotta do something. Right, where we're from, you do that. You know, sometimes you put a photo on there of the person who's either passed or gone to jail or something.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
What you don't do is put the photo of how they died.
Yeah. You don't need to put the photo of him in the casket.
No. Or the crime scene photo either. But Al Hilal was like, let's think out the box.
So Al Hilal did a graphic to acknowledge Neymar's injury, and they took the photo of him begging for help from his torn ACL.
And then behind that, what did they put as the background?
It says "Return stronger" with a black and white image of Neymar
being stretchered
off the pitch. This is insane. Why do this?
This is wildly insensitive.
It is. How did,
and look, if you notice, Nico pointed this out, all the sponsors are at the bottom.
Of course, you got
like, yeah, don't forget Puma, everyone.
Sponsored. This terrible, this torn meniscus. Yeah.
MRS ACL, sponsored by Puma. Right.
So, brought to you by Yahez, the number one construction company in Qatar.
Bro, this is, you know, Neymar pleading for help in excruciating pain, sponsored by Savvy.
This is like this is like if your lady made a flyer of you finishing fat too fast. The picture she just was you crying. Let's on make the a edge dope bed.
Yo, Leo,
I got time now.
Fire up Canva. Let's go.
I got pro, so I think we're gonna be good.
Okay, let's see what the AI images could come up with.
Right.
Okay,
let's see if there's a template. Now, I want to point something out you might not have seen. Can you make this image larger?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Now, when you do that, I want you to pay attention. Right there is perfect.
Yeah.
Look up in the white spaces. Go up a little bit. Scroll back up. What in the white spaces? What do you see in the background?
It's
look
the
down.
Same.
They took the image of him holding his face. Now scroll down even further. You see real small? What do you see in the background on the right hand side?
What am I looking at?
You in the white part. Move your mouse down a little bit. Right there. What do you see?
That's on the stretcher.
His name are on the stretcher. They met it in the image four times. Him on the stretcher is in the image four. You didn't need to do all that, bro.
This is the saddest photo, but honestly, it looks dope. It's, I mean, the work is great.
It bro, looks it like a documentary. It looks like the artwork for a documentary about a player's last
this
game.
This is the cover art for like a Ken Burns documentary. You
bro,
know what
this
I mean?
Is this would be great if it wasn't for your star player's injury, and the photo is multiple torturous photos of this player.
It's just like every kind of visual reminder of how tragic this is. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's just an unnecessary, you know, it goes too hard on something.
It does.
That should be treated with a little bit more sensitivity.
Yeah.
But then you also got to look at the caption of the tweet, which is also baffling as well. It says, quote, the medical test. And then it says, quote, there, Neymar, like, it's not allegedly Neymar.
No, I mean, he's in the photo.
He's in the photo four times crying. It said, Neymar underwent, confirmed the anterior cruciate ligament and meniscus tear injury in his knee. He will be going through surgery and then a treatment program that will be determined later. Return stronger, Neymar Jr.
The last sentence feels like a threat.
Return
stronger, Neymar.
I mean, it's a little bit of like
Google. Or we're making another one of these flyers.
Google Translate kind of, you know, fumbled it a little
bit
here.
I'm assuming the quote and all caps Neymar might be a cultural thing. Maybe that's how you put people's names.
I have no idea. It's very, very confusing. But you would imagine Al Hilal has. This is the Al Hilal English account. I'm sure they have an English speaking person to handle
100%.
This. 100%. If they could pay Neymar that amount of money, they can pay somebody to handle just posting some tweets.
I would hope so.
But truly, truly confusing, baffling. It sucks.
Baffling is a great way to put it. This is so confusing.
To lose Neymar, of course, obviously a big name player for Brazil and obviously for Al Hilal. But this is, I can't make any kind of sense of it. I don't know why they would do this. But hey, I don't know. Maybe culturally, it's a different thing out there. I don't know. I don't know what they do. So, all right, let's wrap up, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in.
You should have made one of these when I pooped my pants from Dallas.
Yeah, we have to.
Well, ask Jamie to whip one together.
Yeah, can someone listening who's good at Photoshop
take our biggest like L's in life and make them like just absolute fire Photoshop edits,
and then get like multiple background photos. This man is holding his face four times in this photo. It's horrific.
Bro, we need to just get the first time a girl rejected me.
Just me. You were 28.
Just get there. Can we make a fire edit?
Yeah, dude.
Out of that, okay? You know?
Some of the wilder stories. Can we get you eating a burrito?
Oh, yeah.
Can we get a reaction of you seeing someone who's taking your burrito eating and taking it to the next level.
Oh, the we'll do that on Patreon. We'll do
okay,
on Patreon.
Yeah, we'll do that on Patreon.
All right, patreon.com/soccerguru. Anyway, all right, everybody, shout out to everybody for tuning in. Thank you again, Chris Ewing of the Caledonian Braves, for coming through talking about the club out in Scotland. And we will be back on Monday. Obviously,
yes, sir.
MLS. Decision day is this weekend. It's obviously a lot at stake. It's going to be incredible. Also, NWSL playoffs happening this weekend as well.
Club football's back. So much going on.
Yeah, European footy. I mean, it's the Merseyside derby.
Arsenal's playing Chelsea.
Arsenal's playing Chelsea. So a little Miguelito against Alexis this weekend.
Let's go.
So a lot of entertaining matches. So we will see you back on Monday. It'll be sick as ever. Don't know why I said that. I already regret it. We'll see you on Monday, everybody.
Yeah, cowabunga.
Peace.
We are audiostack.ai.
Combining AI writing, the best synthetic voices,
with production and delivery.
Be it ads, podcasts, or VOs for video.
Just like this ad. How would you utilize AI audio? For free.
Go to audiostack.ai/contest.
Give us just a few details.
And you could replace this spot and be heard by millions.
See webpage for T's and C's. audiostack.ai/contest.